PFT Media.
Riots and revolution, or prayer and peace, which is the better way to bring about change in your society? We're going to look at that and delve into what the secret is to progress.
Here we are.
Hello, welcome to Half True History, where we take the legends and the truth about history and kind of merge the two into what's a pretty good story overall. I am your professor for the evening, Dan P. Over here through the other channels is our super producer, Chris Crespo.
What up?
And I am going to say proudly, here is the Maximilian Robespierre to my George Danton, Pedro Lima.
Burn it all. Burn it all to the ground. Start over. Clean.
Pedro would look really good in a big Robespierre fur coat.
Right?
Yeah.
With the tri-corner hat and the wig going on?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys better send me a picture of that, please.
I'll send you one right now. I'll do it.
No. Don't send it because I barely know how to operate this. Yeah.
Fair.
So, obviously, now people know what's going on. 2020 has had plenty of different and interesting events, and the month of June is reserved for the Black Lives Matter protests.
Oh, Lord.
Keeping the nation.
What?
The world,
what a, cluster F this 2020 has been.
It's
from Kobe, from Murder Hornets, and those Murder Hornets has been like the weakest thing.
Yeah.
Because there's only three of them that showed up in Seattle, and I think they got sprayed and died. So
yeah, that one was a little overblown. They just had great marketing.
That was the battle of Blackwater of 2020. So.
The one thing I want is like, come on, Meteor, just hit. Might as well hit. This is the year. Hit. Nope.
Yep.
Well, you got Meteor, you got Super Volcano, Yellowstone could go off.
And you know, this happens a lot in history. At least once every century, there is this kind of cleansing. One year where it's just like, how did everything go about this way?
Mm-hmm.
In the 19th century, it was 1848. There were riots and revolutions in every country in Europe.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So there are times where it just breaks. And you know, usually it breaks when the wealthy people have way too much power. That's usually when the break comes and when the reset happens. And they're not willing to compromise. That's another thing. So, you know, it's a common thing here, these riots. You know, we hear different versions of what's going on. And, of course, our nation, as always, is a little bit You got your naysayers and your cheers, and then your people in the middle that just want to pretend to be the practical ones.
Mm-hmm.
That they just want life to go on as it was before because they were comfortable, and now they're getting shook out of their comfortable existence.
Right. The constant thing that they do, those people who want, who don't want a major change or major shift, is when it comes to protests, they always refer back to who in American history?
Martin Luther King Jr.
Right, doing it the right way. You know, yeah. Dr. King didn't do that, et cetera, et cetera. Or Gandhi, they'll say they'll want to go international. They'll say, oh, Gandhi had peaceful protests as well.
How come Malcolm X never gets called on this?
You know,
because he did protest, but there was no violence or anything like that.
No. His words were direct, but that's it. He was, and that's probably it. He just didn't have polite dinner table manners when he was doing it. And, you know, it's good to focus on, though. And I think we all can agree we would love for change to happen peacefully in any country. That would be ideal. Historically, it has not really gone that way. And it's just, you know, a peaceful protest. And I think this is one of the things that we do. We like to push these peaceful protesters, and we like to put them on a pedestal because the peaceful protesters help the rich and the establishment be able to push off change for a little bit longer.
But time out. Before we get into it, because it's just so, to me, it's so far-fetched. Because even Gandhi, when he supposedly did the peaceful protest,
right,
there was super violence.
Yes.
For that.
Yeah.
Pretty
much right on the vein of what we were going to talk
about. Nelson Mandela didn't do peaceful protests.
No. I mean, yeah, he was in jail for blowing up a warehouse.
Okay.
And then, you know, he was an icon, but he wasn't leading anything. He was in prison that entire time.
Yeah.
And it was Soweto in 76 that really turned people's opinions. It was the riots. It was the, you know, the huge uprisings and the military action. And people saw just how vicious the South African government was to their own people.
And even after that, it wasn't until like 80-something that apartheid ended. And that's
91.
It took a bunch of old rock stars young at the time to sing no to Sun City.
Right.
Please get it off the radio. Please. Get little Stevie off the radio.
That's a prime example. We like to think about these people. Oh, look how peacefully they just sat in jail. They did not just sit in jail peacefully. Like you said, Pedro, he was started out violent.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said he wants a peaceful, but unfortunately, peaceful protests only lead to being pushed off for another few more years.
Like, write it off. And people forget about it. And even the so-called peaceful protests that Martin Luther King Jr. did, on his part, they were peaceful.
Yeah.
The other side wasn't so peaceful.
I mean, they shot the dude.
Yeah.
I mean, his life did not end peacefully. He was not treated peacefully. It took a Herculean effort for him to act the way he did, and then the worst thing that could happen to him. So, and then people point to that. It's like, that's the example. That's the example you should lead by. So you just want everyone to get shot and go away? Because that sounds what you really want.
And it's like, he passed the Civil Rights Act. He got the Civil Rights Act passed in 64. Well, if it was such a success, then how come the Black Panthers formed in 66?
Yeah, they felt that they had to keep doing something. It's not like they stopped.
Yeah. You know, and in America, it's really hard to tell other Americans you need to protest peacefully when your entire country's history is about you not protesting peacefully. You know, I mean, the colonists tried peacefully. They sent a letter and they had to fight a war. So that's the start of your country.
Do you imagine if Twitter was around? When that dude decided to fucking start throwing tea over the harbor and be like, hey, can we be more civil about this and just let's talk to them.
Like, what does this actually accomplish, throwing the tea in the harbor?
I like tea.
You know, those British soldiers are just trying to do their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just following orders.
I know Nigel. Nigel is so nice.
Right. He would never.
And not then, old red coats are.
And then you got a hashtag Christmas Addicts. You got to say his name.
Uh-huh. Yep. Boston Massacre.
Yeah.
And they were, and the British officers were, the British soldiers were found not guilty.
Ugh, that's riot time, baby.
You know, it's Boston Tea Party destroying property.
It's more accepted then because of whites.
Mm-hmm. Well, those were my ancestors. That's the difference.
Wait, are you gonna? Okay, so you're going with that?
That's what they're. I'm going with the counter. Okay. Not mine. Mine's from Italy at this time.
Yeah.
Mine are still picking olives.
No, he's doing the Bill the Butcher, Gangs of New York, the nativists. Like, those are my ancestors. Yeah.
We don't come over until Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
That's when we come over.
No, your cinematic Italian importees.
Yeah, we all came on donkeys.
hidden in a basket.
Yeah.
Give him a name from Corleone. Hi, it's Corleone.
But yeah, so it's fine if it's your ancestor from generations past and everything, but now you're seeing it. The French Revolution. There's another one.
Let them have cake.
It's not like there wasn't a meeting to try and make the taxes fair for everyone. It's not like there wasn't proposal after proposal from noblemen who said, guys, we can't not pay taxes anymore. We got to start paying taxes to relieve the poor because they're starving and it's going to bite us. And this establishment just could not let go of the power. You're talking, so they knew, you know, the people knew, and the even most of the some of the nobles and some of the clergy knew. You're talking about 10 years before the revolution happens. We've got to do something or it's going to get us. But that established order, that wealthy established order, doesn't want to give up power. Kept pushing it aside.
But that was more for class than anything. But then you got class, and then you got the Gandhi thing, which was religious. Right. So it's interesting because each revolution has its own.
Right. Well, there's poverty too in the French Revolution, which is definitely a big part of what I think this movement is about too.
Yeah.
So it's It's extremely unfair. Back then, the Bastille was an unfair prison system as well that they stormed. So, you know, it's the same old story. And there were people who proposed and people who tried, and, you know, Declaration of Independence, people who tried for a peaceful separation. Gandhi tried to be peaceful. But again, Gandhi starts his protest in the 1920s. They don't get their freedom until 1947. Because things had to get shot, things had to blow up, and the British had to lose a bunch of soldiers to the Nazis.
Before they, like, you know what?
Before they let go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Pedro, you know Puerto Rican history a little bit better than I do.
Ooh, yes.
Let's talk about riots and peaceful protests. How's that? How does that go?
It was stunted, but it was attempted,
right?
But you know, it's hard to take on a nation when you're just a little island, and they have a navy.
Yeah,
and not only have a navy, but then you get starving people and you feed them a little bit, and you get them on your side. So now you got them going against the people that are going. But don't you see the injustices here? They don't want you to even speak your native language. They don't want you to even, you know. Saluting your own flag. We got our independence, and then like 8 days later, or something like that, United States comes like, no, you're ours.
Yeah,
right.
Like we barely got like a week, and then
it was a glorious week though.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Sugar canes and everything.
Then they
took everything. The first thing they took was the sugar. Then they started taking the coffee fields. Then they started doing experiments, and they wanted to wipe down the population of Puerto Ricans.
And they did use the Puerto Rican police against any like demonstrations. Mm-hmm. So in the 50s, they would have demonstrations, and there's at least one time where the police shot into the crowd and killed four people. That was in the mid-50s. And then in the 70s, you had, for talking about like left wing nationalistic violence sort of thing. You had the Macheteros.
Okay.
The Macheteros, yeah.
Yeah.
They went out there and be like, we're not gonna ask for respect. We demand respect.
Yeah, we demand independence. And they needed money, so to fund their movement, they robbed an armored truck.
Wells Fargo armored truck.
Yeah, which then sent the FBI, no, the CIA. Someone came in to Puerto Rico and hunted all the Macheteros down in the jungle and wiped them all out and killed them all.
Until there was one, then, until 2000... I want to say 2002 or 2004, around there, there was still one Machetero left. The FBI, the guy was 70, 80 years old or whatever it is. Yeah. They raided the house and they shot him.
You got to be kidding me.
Cold blood.
Uncle Sam has a long memory, man.
Oh, yeah. No.
Cold blood. They went after the fucking guy. And... You know, but it's hard. As much as I would love my island to have its independence, it's been castrated to the point that they're dependent.
It's going to need outside help.
They don't have anything that's theirs, to be honest.
Right.
And then the generations that are coming up, there's no more farmers, bro. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be a farmer. Everybody wants to be a influencer. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to do music. Everybody, but you know, nobody wants to be a doctor. Nobody wants to be a teacher in their own country. Obviously, right. They'll study to be doctors and teachers and then leave.
Right.
And that's but again, when the economy has been so drained to the point of I need to get out of here to survive. You know what I mean?
That University of San Juan degree becomes basically a passport at that point.
Dude, it gets to the point that they don't even acknowledge that anymore. There's doctors that people that graduate from there, and they want to help out here, and they're like, no, you got to do the courses, the American thing. It's like, yo, we are part of the United States.
How is that college system not part of the American?
It's
college?
Amazing. 2020, we still gotta. It's been almost 100 years, right? Because it was. Mm-hmm.
It was the 1890s, 1894. 1890s
taken over, more than that.
Yeah, but we didn't get recognized as citizens until
1918. For World War One.
Because they needed soldiers.
You're right.
They needed bodies, not soldiers.
But they needed somebody in the front.
Yeah.
To stop the bullets. So.
Well, yeah, because they wouldn't let the black soldiers mix with the whites still just yet. So they had to have some human shields.
Yeah.
So,
but you had that, but again, but then the term peaceful protest is just people get so violent about peaceful protests because even Muhammad Ali did a peaceful protest,
right? And yeah,
and he was the most hated. He was the most hated guy.
Yeah,
and he goes, "Why do you want me to fight? Why do you want me to fight for a country that doesn't fight for me?"
Right. Yep.
So.
And he lost 4 years of his career during his prime years for that.
What was that famous quote? No Viet Cong ever called me an N-word?
Yep.
That's the quote. And then also losing 4 years of his career for a peaceful protest. Then we got Colin Kaepernick, right? He takes a knee, gets blackballed. Now 4 years later, the NFL is like, oh, yeah, maybe we should have listened while the country is burning. Like,
but they won't apologize to him because if they apologize to him, they got to pay. So they're very careful with their words, but their words are very empty.
Right. But they they arbitrated and settled. So legally, I think no matter what now, it's sort of like, isn't it like a double jeopardy thing? They're off the hook if they even necessarily admit to colluding.
I'm not sure when it comes to settlements. Unless the agreement on the settlement says it, that you cannot sue.
Right. NFL lawyers, I bet you they got it. They got that written into there. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty incredible how no matter what, even if you, almost especially if you try to do it peacefully, it gets people even more mad.
You get kneecapped. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, one of the best examples of a peaceful protest, a huge peaceful protest, was a organization called the White Rose. I don't know if you've ever heard of the White Rose.
No. What is that?
It was a
resistance. Mr. Robot.
It's a German group. It was a resistance as a peaceful protest group against the Nazis.
Oh, the Germans.
Yeah. They did not want to go to violence because that's what the Nazis did. So they wanted to be peaceful and spoke out. And that's how they were going to stop the German governments.
Now I know. Now I know why I don't know about them.
Yeah. And they were all eradicated.
You're saying pacifism didn't beat Nazism?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah. For some reason, trying to be nice to savages doesn't work.
You can't reason with zealots?
No.
And then here's the thing. So now we're going through these protests, and they're, for the most part, it's peaceful. Of course, people are going to be angry in the beginning. Sure. But for the most part, it's peaceful.
Yep.
But then you got these the guys with the comfy flags.
Mm-hmm.
Who are waving a flag, who went to actual war for the country that they're like, this is America, but you're flying the enemy flag.
Yep.
So yeah. What the it's just so backwards, bro.
It's establishment being scared and wanting to, and they make you feel like you're the bad guy for protesting, for being violent, and that's mm-hmm. it's a mind tactic. It's what they do, and this is, you know, to understand this, you really got to also understand the history of the police. Okay, now up until about the 1800s, you had watchmen in your town. It was a volunteer force essentially. They would go around the streets at night with basically a bell and a light and ring it saying 1 o'clock and all is well.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. Time out.
Yeah.
Because I heard something about, wasn't the police first established to track down like slaves?
No, it's a
Okay.
In America, that's a misconception. Because the actual first police force starts in Britain.
Because I've been hearing a lot of that.
People you are like, hear that. Now, there is a group of federal slave catchers. Yes, that's approved by the state governments to catch slaves and return them to the South.
Did they have a sexy name other than federal slave catchers?
I don't remember exactly, but they're not associated with the actual organized police force that we know today.
Okay.
Was it a police force of sorts? Sure, absolutely. But it was more about securing property, quotations, than anything, you know.
Okay.
But the actual police force is created by Robert Peel, Prime Minister Robert Peel. It's called the Metropolitan Police Act. And the reason it was created is because of the Industrial Revolution. The factories, of course, were in the big cities. And you need people to work those factories. So the poor people started moving into the cities. Mm. Well, they made sure that all the poor people housing was near the factory, but that didn't guarantee that these ugly poor people wouldn't walk down your streets at some point.
Mm. Your nice, pretty streets.
Right, exactly. So why let, you know, we can't guarantee that these urchins are going to come into the rich sections and, you know, we have to see their dirty clothes and they're covered in soot and stuff.
Yeah.
And how dare they try and buy from our shops, you know, or anything like that. Were there, you know, are poor people more likely to be criminals? Absolutely. They're poor. Of course they're likely to steal. Maybe if you paid them, they wouldn't steal
things. Good point, Dan. Good point.
if they didn't need...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they didn't need it... they wouldn't be stealing. Like, I'm sorry. That's just how it is. Now, of course, there are always fringe people who steal for the fun of it. But again, in society, that's not many of us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Don't fetish shame.
You're right. So they create the Metropolitan Police Act. And the idea is we are going to create a force that keeps the poor people in their sections. And we're going to make a bunch of laws that are, of course, favorable to the rich and not so favorable to the poor. Well, how do you create a large force like that? Divide and conquer. And here's where it starts. You, and this is where we, and this is where this faction in the United States get this as well. You make the police force sound like a way to move up in society. You recruit the poor to govern the poor, to manage the poor.
Sort of like a GI Bill type of thing.
Right. Someone sign who graduated, came, yeah, someone who's a lawyer from Cambridge University isn't signing up to become a beat cop in London.
Right.
But some guy who shovels coal, you know, for 16 hours a day, or you get a nice uniform paid for, shiny badge, you get authority over people, a well-paying job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll beat up your friends for getting out of line. You'll crack some skulls, of course, for that ability.
They're not really my friends anyway. They're just my mates that I drink with.
Exactly.
Bunch of Uncle Ruckus and Samuel Jackson's in Django.
Yeah. You know, and again, if you, it won't be a problem if you just don't break the law, guys.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the laws are all written super fair, and they're not designed to trip you up or anything. So,
right. Just so it becomes popular. And then by the 1860s, we start seeing police forces showing up in New York and Boston.
When was the Metropolitan Police Act done?
You're looking at about 1854 is the Metropolitan Police Act. By Sir Robert Peel, Prime Minister.
And that's in London.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and originally they were called the Peelers, the police force, because they were created by Peel. Mm-hmm. But they were also nicknamed after him, Robert's men, or Bobbies.
Oh, that's why they call them Bobbies.
They call them the Bobbies, right.
Ah! Mm-hmm. And I thought it was because the hat made them look like boobs.
And to
I
show
swear,
their,
I thought that's what the reason.
And to show their authority, they had to give them a nice shiny badge to make them feel good about themselves. Everyone loves the gold sticker in kindergarten, right?
Yes.
So let's give them all shiny badges to make them feel special. Well, we obviously don't want to pay too much for this, so we're going to make it out of the cheapest material at the time. Copper.
Oh, so then you call them a copper because you're referencing their copper badge.
Right.
The cops.
Yeah, cops.
Oh, shit.
It's because of the old copper badges.
So imagine if they made those things out of tin. So they made a bunch of tinners then?
Tinners or tins. Yeah, the tins are coming.
Yeah. The cops. Oof. That's funny.
Yep. So that's where you get it from. The cops are from the copper badges.
Good thing they didn't make it out of a bunch of sticks back then.
Yeah.
Research it, people.
In London.
Don't do it.
the London bundle of sticks.
Bundle of sticks. Other words.
Oh, there's a bunch of bundlers.
A bunch of stickers around
here. I said stickers with an A.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, it's and again, it's a powerful establishment thing. It's divide and conquer the lower classes. Put the police on your side because you give them a little bit of power. You give them a little bit of authority and a little bit more respect. And that's how you do it.
That's insane. That's crazy, dude. That's,
yeah.
Man, I've learned so much in this podcast than I did in my 4 years in U.S. high school.
Yeah, well, they don't teach you this stuff, right?
No.
They teach you, you know, how wonderful John D. Rockefeller was for creating the economy. They don't talk about all the poor people.
Look how great Andrew Jackson is.
Oh, yeah. That son of a gun.
Yo, I did. I told you the story. I've said this story. I did a book report for Jacob, mm-hmm. helping him out, and Andrew Jackson. That's why I learned, yo, this guy's a straight-up a-hole.
Yeah. Yeah, morally, one of our worst presidents.
Yo, and then I remember in the book report, I gave Jacob, make sure this guy's a jerk. Write that.
Yeah. He's a jerk. I would have given him an A for that. If that's what he took out of it, absolutely.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, he is was.
Yeah,
and
that guy is a Nixon-level monster.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. It's weird because now Nixon, what we have now, he's so tame.
Here's the thing: if you and we want, we'll do Nixon Day. We'll do. I would love to do Nixon Day because he actually.
That'd be awesome.
If you look at the stuff he passed, he probably would be considered like
socialist,
a moderate Democrat, or a leftist, a progressive.
Yeah, he's just paranoid. He was just paranoid.
He was paranoid. He was crazy, but he did so many things for this country. But then, of course, he did a lot of asshole things for this country. So there's definitely he's an interesting character, not to say the least.
I'll say you're talking about divide and conquer. Nixon, he's the one who used the law and order rhetoric. Because that's when the poverty, the impoverished were really working together, like something was really about to happen. So he used the law and order rhetoric to divide the poor amongst like poor whites and poor blacks and helped push that down. And that was part of his whole deal to be divisive and keep everyone down. It was the same thing.
But yeah, and at the same time, he's the guy who passes Title IX and buses the black children into white schools.
Yes.
He's playing both sides here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's a politician.
Yeah, so you have this. Those.
So you now have this police force made of the working class to keep the impoverished class aside, and that's always what the establishment does. They promise it's that temporarily embarrassed millionaire thing. We keep these middle class. One day you'll be just like us if you keep enforcing our laws. Never happens. Most successful cops that you see when they retire, the ones with boats and stuff like that, you know they took money. And cops were not honored in America for the longest time. They are looked on as negative. They are looked on as scabs. They are the low-level scum for the next 50 years or so.
Until Dirty Harry shows up on screen.
We're almost.
Yeah.
Almost. It's... When the United States needs to push the idea of law and order and the government is on your side, it's during the Red Scare in the 50s. And so the quest is we have to make the cops look respectable and good. And Q, the most influential TV show of that era, Dragnet.
Dragnet. Oh, Dragnet. Wow.
Make the cops look good.
Lead him the right.
Trustworthy. They make them these knights in shining armor. And then from there on out, every single cop show afterwards, until pretty much Hill Street Blues and NYPD shows nothing but clean.
Until the Shield.
Right. But it was all tactic. Nobody cared about cops or nobody liked cops. Well, especially not the Southerners. I don't even know where we're getting this thing now where Southerners are supporting the cops. I mean, these are the guys who busted their moonshine for decades. this is a new thing. The idea of Southern conservatives supporting the police is really only within the last 20 to 30 years of American history.
Yeah, look at the Dukes of Hazzard.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Sheriff was trying to put law and order.
Right.
Or these high-speeding racist kid with the car.
Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run, you just name it. Yeah, it's always the evil sheriff in the South. Corrupt and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, and so it's, you know, that's the history of police in society, though. It's that we have this skewed perception of police because of media and because of kind of where they are, this position that they're in. And so, you know, let's get back down to the peaceful protests, though. Some more examples here. We like to, you know, what's an establishment thing? I'll give you a few more here.
Okay.
Let's talk about women's rights in America.
Okay.
Abigail Adams tries to get women the right to vote when the Constitution is written. That's denied.
She got punched in the face.
She didn't get punched in the face. She's John Adams' wife, so she didn't get punched in the face.
Oh, okay.
But she gets denied. So that's the first start. It was a simple request. It's denied. 1848, the Seneca Falls Convention. Big convention in Seneca Falls, New York, where freed black men and women are meeting with white women to talk about women getting the right to vote. And on that side, the women are also pushing for anti-slavery across the nation.
Denied.
Yep, denied. They put in a petition, everything. Here's it. that we're making. We want to start voting. They even elect one of theirs to be a vice presidential candidate for a fringe political party. Denied.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Time goes on. Slaves become free. All of a sudden, all the male slaves and freed male slaves stop showing up to these women's rights conventions, by the way, after they're freed. So this is a gender thing as well. Mm. You know, we got ours. We don't need to get our, you know, no protection for the black woman, as long as we've got our rights. You know, so now gender is playing into this in America. So now it's black women and white women. Working separate but equally, should say. They're working together as well as they can, etc. You know.
Okay.
Now we get Susan B. Anthony. Everyone loves Susan B. Anthony. You talk about women's rights, you talk about Susan B. Anthony. She's on the dollar coin. She's got a big grave in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
She's an animatronic at Disney.
At in 2016 on election day, there was a line of women leaving I voted stickers on her stone, and it was a lot, hundreds of yards long. Or so many people, because they're obviously voting for Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Yes. So we, you know, when it comes to women's rights, you think Susan B. Anthony. Susan B. Anthony dies before the right to vote is given to women. She did the peaceful thing. She did the speeches everywhere. She made thousands of speeches, more than any man or woman in America ever did.
So she dies before? Okay. So
before. Who, never gets the vote.
When does it get passed? And what?
Now the new generation of women takes over the women's right movement.
Mm.
Two 30-year-old women named Alice Paul and Lucy Burns. And again, they're always like, oh, you know, look what... And they love Susan B. Anthony for what she did, but they realized they left Susan B. out to dry. She never got to see it, even though she did so much work. Because she did it peacefully, they didn't do anything. And now here's where the suffragettes get radical. So the new women's group, and this is in Britain too. This is Amelie Pankhurst is doing the same thing. They're protesting department stores. They won't buy from them. Their marches, they're throwing bricks into department store windows. They're smashing things up. These women are vandalizing.
Nice.
They're blocking the streets. How dare they block these streets in protest? Don't you realize people have to go to work? What about ambulances? Why? They're killing people because of their inconsideration. How dare these women do that? And then the worst, during World War I, President Woodrow Wilson... America enters World War I. President Woodrow Wilson has to bring in all these foreign dignitaries to discuss, of course, the war itself. And he cannot go anywhere, and the diplomats cannot go anywhere in Washington, D.C. without seeing women's rights protesters all over calling Wilson out to the point where he basically has to swim through them just to get to his White House. They block out the president. They make him look like an ass to the world.
That's awesome.
Now the women get the right to vote a year later.
In what, 1920?
1920, and the 19th Amendment is officially created, yes.
Who's the president?
Nice.
The president at this time is
going to be... Woodrow Wilson.
There's going to be Warren G. Harding.
Was that his first year?
That's not the fat one, right?
No, it's the Teapot Dome. That's one of the most corrupt presidents we've had. You're thinking of Taft. That's the fat one.
Garfield?
Garfield was not fat. He was shot.
Taft.
Okay. Yeah.
Taft is a fat one.
Right. So it becomes a law in 19... It comes officially in 1920, but it becomes law and then gets pushed to amendment in 1918, the last year of Woodrow Wilson's term as president.
Okay.
Right.
In part because of all the public pressure.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm going to be... I'm correcting myself here. 1920 is the last year. So, yes, he passes it on his last year. So, yeah, Harding takes over in 1921. I forget that because he dies pretty soon. Harding will take over. But yeah. Well, but the point is here, it had to get radical for the vote to happen.
And that's what's going to happen here. And then if they... It's going to get worse in November if they try to pull that stunt that they did a couple years ago in Atlanta when they with the voting booths.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried it in Kentucky, and you saw them banging in there. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting in November, bro.
It's you can't change it. You know, this idea of I want a peaceful protest. I want a peaceful protest. Well, you have to be willing to listen to them, though. Black Lives Matter was fairly peaceful 4 years ago. That was your warning. You chose to ignore the warning. You thought you could put it off like you have been putting off. I mean, cops randomly killing black suspects because, and calling it an accident. I mean, that's a joke in a Richard Pryor stand-up. And then that's even further than that instance. So how much longer were they going to wait peacefully with their thumbs up their butts?
Yeah.
And then it's like when they talk about people been asking for reform for years. Mm-hmm. So they do little itty bitty things like, oh, yeah, we'll ban chokeholds and we'll do bars and all these little things they keep doing and nothing changes. And now they're shocked that people are like taking to upset about it.
They didn't ban it. Right. Some places didn't ban it. They still allowed to do chokehold if the police officer feels threatened.
Very good, then.
So they didn't ban it. They just...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They
just stand your grounded kind of deal.
Yeah, but I mean, like... It still doesn't matter. Chokeholds are straight up banned in New York City. They have been for years, and Eric Garner still died in Staten Island, and that cop got off, didn't he?
Yeah, but they just did one got fired in New York when he put the knee in the back of somebody's neck, and he saw that he was being recorded and took the knee off. But too late, son. We got you.
Oops.
We got you. Oops.
It's a line of progression. We can go outside of America. We can go further back in history. And I know people like to think, oh, well, that was way back when. I mean, we can also talk about just now. You know, England doesn't start giving its peasants rights until after the English Peasants' Revolt in the 1300s. That needs to happen.
It has to happen. That's the thing. It's just...
Mm-hmm. Gladiators are treated better in Rome after Spartacus rebels.
Mm-hmm.
It's the law of the jungle, and the question is, are you going to be the one who finally decides to let these protests be peaceful, to listen and to move on, or are you going to be those 50,000 French nobles that face the guillotine?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, it's just be the one that finally a peaceful protest worked.
Yeah. Show us that it works.
Yep.
Or else, like I said, you end up there with the French, or you end up like all those prominent white landowners in Haiti.
Wait, there's white people in Haiti?
There was.
Oh.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Hey, 50,000 French nobles?
Nobles and clergy. Yeah,
that's a lot of people. That's a pretty good target. That's a pretty good number.
Well, I mean, it was 3% of the population, and they controlled 35% of the land. And the rich win a lot of these guys. The rich win. We talk about the English revolt was destroyed. You know, most of these revolts are stopped out or stamped out, but all you can do is put it off. Yeah. All you're doing is putting it off and hoping that, and you're giving this debt of hate to the next generation of your establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually someone's got to pay when it comes to collect. So the question is, you know, pay the debt off before you pass it on.
Burn it down, baby.
And it's everywhere. And again, it's everywhere. I can keep going with examples.
Yeah.
There were peaceful protests for workers' rights. But until the railroad strikes and the homestead strikes and, you know, where they were burning mail carts and derailing trains, the workers, that's when they finally got health and safety inspectors in the workplace.
Look at that.
They were asking for 40 years.
That's for safety, son.
Yeah.
And they're flipping trains.
Right. They have to kill people. They have to destroy property for the government to recognize that maybe putting an 8-year-old in a coal mine is not a good idea.
Yeah, if I disappear, it's because my phone's about to die.
So. All right. So it's this legacy. It's this legacy of hate. And, you know, there are so many different origins. You know, it could be a racial thing. It can be an establishment thing, however you want to do it. But you got to think this through here. If you really want change, or if you're trying to support these, remember, you're backing the police. The police are a tool of an establishment and have always been the tool of the establishment. I'm not saying that your individual friend is a tool, but that arm was created to control poor people.
Shout out, Officer Pinkerton.
Yes, and it still does. That's it. I mean,
this was dope. This was very dope, dude.
All right, I'm glad you guys liked it. So hopefully it happens, you know?
Here's to peace, but, you know, if you know, a couple of things need to burn down, just, you know, it's just part of history repeating itself.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we're going to put another podcast into legend. This has been Half True History. Pedro and Crespo, we're going to put out the social medias, the other shows too as well, or?
Yeah, we got everyone go to pftmedia.com, support all the other shows we got going on, and follow us on all the social medias, PFT Media.
What else are most of you doing anyway?
Yeah, what else are people? You're still at home. You should be at home. Stay at home, people.
They closed the bars down again in Texas and Florida, so you should be coming home.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Did they close the bars, or they just removed the alcohol from the bars?
I heard I know in Texas they definitely closed the bars. I don't know what the word in Florida is. Yes.
Yeah, they removed the alcohol.
Oh, okay. So now you can just go there for the wings. That's good. All right. So check us out. Check out all the PFT families. Half True History on Facebook. Half True Histories on Instagram. Half True History on Twitter as well. And once again, we thank you for tuning into Half True History. Putting it into legend.
Stop the music and go home. I repeat, stop the music.
A PFT Media production.